Winter is back. It's crazy, crazy winter with almost spring and summer weather one day and cold the next. We're in a series of messages where we're talking about what does it mean to be part of a body? What does it mean to be part of a church, a community of faith? What does Jesus, when he dreamed up, when he and the Father and the Spirit dreamed up this thing called the church, the community, what was his design for those of us who are part of it? Last week, through 1 Corinthians, I worked to make the point that you are important. There's no extraneous parts to the body. It's not like I don't really need this pinky. You know, it's kind of dead weight. I'm just going to get rid of it. Every part of the body is important. And you are important. You have gifts and talents and abilities that God has given you. And he wants you to be able to use them for the sake of the body, for the growth of his church, for the growth of his name throughout the world. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn this week to Romans chapter 12. And you can grab a pew Bible. We will put everything on the screen. If you happen to use the updated version of the NIV, not what's in the pews, but the newer updated version, or you use the English Standard Version, a number of others. If you were to open to Romans chapter 12, I think we have to go to the next slide. Or maybe back one. Where are we? Well, not the slide I had anticipated, so maybe I have them in the... There we go, that's the one. If you open the Bible up and just look down at the page, like I do when I was studying, you would see what we're going to read this morning set aside as two different paragraphs. And the editors have put a heading in. So for verses 1 and 2, they have a heading that says, Living Sacrifice. Then beginning in verse 3, they have another heading that says, Gifts of Grace. Now, I don't know what happens to you, but when I look down at a page and I see headings like that, I automatically chunk the passage up. I say, oh, okay, this first section is, you know, a section all by itself. And then there's another section. Well, those headings are put in by editors, the translators, to help us understand the flow of the passage. Unfortunately, they sometimes cause us to take a break when we really shouldn't take a break, when the author was actually continuing what they wanted to say. There are no headings in the original text of the Bible, and just so you know, in the original, there's no chapters and verses either. A letter read like a letter, like you would write a letter or I would write a letter. The reason I kind of labor through that is because it's important when we read the Bible to remember the context, and that's going to become particularly important this morning, as we read the passage from Romans, we'll read the first 8 verses. And normally we would probably read verses 1 and 2 and then stop and think about it. Then we'd read verses 3 forward and stop and think about it. But I, this morning, want to read all the way through it. I want you to sense the progression that Paul is making. And then I want to show you some ways it links together. Romans chapter 12 is a major change in the letter. The first 11 chapters, Paul's been telling us what the gospel's about. It's this, it's that. He's been describing it. And now with chapter 12, he gets to the place where he's going to tell us, so what? Here's what Jesus did for us. What are we supposed to do with all of that information? So listen up. Chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. There's a theme running through this passage that can be broken up if we only look at it as two individual sections. But if we see it as a whole, the theme becomes more apparent. So I have a slide which will put all of the verses on one page or one screen. The print's a little small to read, but I want to just see how it fits. There it is. Now, the theme is the body. We should have another slide. There we go. Notice how the whole idea of the body stretches throughout those two paragraphs. Paul begins by saying, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of everything God has done for you, here's what you're to do. You're to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. He goes so far to say, this is your true and proper worship, to offer your body as proper worship. Now, I have preached on those two verses more than once. I taught a seminary course on Romans. And I got so tied up with just those two verses and the laying ourselves on the altar and the idea of the mind being transformed that I missed the connection. Have you ever wondered, how do I offer my body as a living sacrifice? Have you ever wondered, how do you do that? I mean, are we supposed to tie ourselves up and lay ourselves on a bunch of sticks? The imagery is that. The imagery is what Abraham did to Isaac when he bound his son and he put him on an altar to be sacrificed. How do we do that? Practically. Well, if we take both sections together, it becomes much more apparent what Paul is talking about. Notice we have a body in the first paragraph, and then he comes back to that imagery again as he closes out the second. He first says, you know, be honest about who you are and what gifts you have and what faith you have with those gifts. That's what sober judgment means. It just means to be honest, to be real. Don't puff yourself up and think you're bigger than you should be. Or really don't crush yourself down and be smaller. And after he gives that one introduction, he goes on to say, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. And then he gives a little list. If you've got a gift, basically he says, use it. And use it to the best of your ability. To the maximum use of your faith, whatever it is. If you're new in the faith and you have this gift, then use it as much as you can. And as you grow in Christ, he'll let you use it more and more. And maybe he'll give you more and more gifts. Next slide. Can you see the link? How we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice is, in fact, by using the gifts God has given us for the sake of his body, for the sake of the advancement of God's kingdom. Friends, that's how we do it. That's Paul's big flow message here. Is that we're not to tie ourselves up and lay ourselves on a bunch of sticks. We're to say, okay, God, I have these abilities. And please notice the abilities he throws out here. Now, he's just giving you a bunch of examples. This isn't an exhaustive list. You can go to other places in the New Testament and find other gifts named. But he's giving you examples. He's saying, if you've got the gift of prophecy, if you go to Romans or go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that's a sense of God speaking in the moment through a person, typically to the body of Christ. If you've got that gift, use it. But that's not the only set of gifts. If you can teach. If you can serve. You know, if you're good at shoveling snow, then get up early and go to that member who's on the grayer side of age and shovel out their driveway for them. If you've got spare time and you know that young family and you just can imagine that mom or dad could use a little break, go and give them a few moments off by taking care of their children. Serve. Make a pot of coffee. Hand out programs before a service. Sit in the nursery so that parents can be here and have a little break. Each week we pray for the young ones. Teach. If that's your gift and you're able to do it, spend a Sunday in a classroom and love on those children and share your ability to make Jesus come alive with the children, and on the list goes. If you can encourage. You have a sense that someone's a little down, write them a note. Give them a ring on the phone. Go up to them in coffee hour and just say, hey, how are you doing? Pour into them. Do you see the way Paul is designing this thing, or Paul is explaining this thing? He's showing that the body works as every part plays its particular role. And it's not like we only have one of these. If it's giving, give. generously. I mean, we're all called to give a tithe of our offering, a tithe of our income, but some people have that just spiritual gift to say, hey, I don't want to stop there. I see a person in need. I want to give it to them. I see a need in the church. I want to take care of that. And they have the means to do it. And leadership and showing mercy. Do you get the sense? Paul's saying that is our spiritual worship. With the body, every part is important. But with the body, every part is needed for the body to function. That's the flow of what Paul is trying to say here. Last week I used Ange and we did kind of a living illustration, and we're going to try that again, a little bit of a different living illustration, and I've asked the band to, well, just follow Ange. I won't give it away. Know what song was being sung when the drums started playing? I hope Ange did. He wrote it. You know, he put it together for me. Even when the bass came in, and then when the piano started, you couldn't figure out what song it was. It wasn't until the violin came in, until Timmy started playing the melody, that the song became familiar. And then it was kind of wonderful to hear Ange sing it. But the song, as it grew in intensity and grew in wonder, didn't become a living, breathing prayer in the congregation until we all joined in. And when we all added our voices, the song hit its richest notes. See, if just one part of the body is doing their thing, it may not make sense. Even if two or three parts of the body, they're faithfully doing their thing, but it's not until the whole body begins to work together so that each part plays its part. And it's not until we lose the mentality that it's people up on the platform who are doing the Jesus thing and everyone else here, we're a spectator at a concert. It's not until we all join the chorus that the body truly begins to function. Todd, could you hand those out? So I'm going to lay a challenge on you. Last week, through the sermon, I made the point, hopefully, that you're important. And I challenged you to think about what gifts and talents and abilities do you have? What has God placed in you? Well, today's step two. You're not only important, you are needed for the song to be sung. For the message of Jesus to ring out from this local assembly, we all have to play our part. We are not only needed, it is our spiritual act of worship. Honestly, it's not an option, though we often treat it as an option. You're important. You're needed. And God designed it so that you would help us play all the music He wants us to play. So what do you have in front of you? It is a very basic form. And it's just meant to give you an idea of what we need and how it can be used. But remember, what we are doing as a church now isn't everything we should be doing. We're simply doing everything we can be doing. And there are plenty of other things that God would have us do if the right people would step forward. So I simply invite you today, you can do it during the offering time, you can do it during the week, to put this in a prominent place as a way to challenge yourself about the role God would have you play. And you can see a number of the activities, but I want to go to some of the open spaces. I have these abilities. I'm not sure where they'll fit, because a lot of abilities can be used in different places depending on need or your own heart. Maybe that's the way you need to think about it. And there's also, like I said, more things that we could be doing if someone might help get it going. Other ways I can use my gifts, abilities, and time and talents. Ministries or service opportunities I would love to see. And notice the next words. And I'm willing to help PCO get involved with. You know, I'll be honest, I don't need more people coming up saying, here's a great idea, you go do it. A lot of people are good at that. But that's not how the body functions. So I'm going to ask you to think and to pray about this. And don't over-spiritualize it. Sometimes the answer can be as simple as, I really like kids. And you take that innate like you have and you say, oh, what could I do? Well, again, Maybe you could teach. Maybe you could be in the nursery. Maybe you could start a mom's morning out program where you'll be willing to watch two or three children so that a couple moms could go out and shop if that's what they have to do, or have a cup of tea, or, you know, whatever. See, sometimes we think, oh, I don't have any gifts. Maybe you're really good at working with numbers and figures. We could certainly use help, you know, with the treasurer and those departments in the church. And maybe you have a heart for a particular people group. And you voice that, and we find out others do too, and we can start something new. You're part of a body. You are important and you're needed. Think about this week and then give us your answers. What might be your living sacrifice for Jesus? And friends, it will be a sacrifice. It'll take time. It'll take finances. If you're a Sunday school teacher, and I keep using them, they have to give up worship time in order to be with the children. That's a sacrifice. Let's pray. God, thank you for this body. And my prayer is that each of us might see and think and pray about where you would want us to plug in. I pray, Lord, that you would give us time to really think about this during the week, and that we would actually respond and not hold it to ourselves. Thank you, Jesus, for everything you've done for us. Here is our living sacrifice returned to you. In your name I pray. Amen.